This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Chile, the very successful state of Chile until I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist and editor at the Wall Street Journal editorial board, to introduce us to the results of the disorder of October 2019. Mary tells me not a church was built, burned, churches across the country. There was rioting in Santiago. And the result, now in the spring of 2022, after the pandemic, is a new constitution with 499 articles made up of 49,637 words. Mary, a very good evening to you. The constitution is too long for me to generalize. What was the rioting then that is now written the Constitution now? What is its ambition? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. The rioting was done by, obviously, extremists, and it was premeditated because you don't burn that many subway stations spontaneously and with such power. I mean, it wasn't like they just set off a few small fires. There were Molotov cocktails. It was quite a bit of explosives involved. After that rioting, or while that rioting was still going on, it generated some large street protests. You know, people will say, well, they were very peaceful for the most part. And those street protests were calling for change. President Piñera at the time was not able to put down the violence. When he tried to use the military, he was accused of being a friend of the former dictator Pinochet, of course, is dead, but you know, using the Pinochet tactics. And, you know, there's a large young population there that only knows about Pinochet what they've been indoctrinated with in the universities and the school system and so forth. So there was an outcry for change, and Piñera agreed to hold a referendum to decide if they needed a new constitution. About half of the electorate turned out to vote, and I think around 70% of that half voted in favor of a new constitution. So the country was assigned a new constitution. And what I try to do in this column is explain why the end product, which, by the way, is not promulgated yet because it needs to go to a referendum, but why it is such an insane, bizarre, and destructive, potentially destructive document. And, you know, that really is a result of the people who were chosen as representatives to go to the convention and write the document.
Let's characterize the document in general, Mary, because 49,000 words requires too much thinking. So I want to come down to it. Reminded me when I read your summary of the Soviet Union refashioned. Are they noticeably guerrilla Marxist thinkers the way we associated Marxism of the classical period in the early part of the 20th century? Is that what the document resembles?
Well, I wouldn't use the word guerrilla. There's no violence here. They're writing this as a law. I mean, there was violence used to get to this point. But basically what you have in the document is kind of a nod toward, or a very huge shift, I should say, toward an economy that will be very much state-centered. So the state will control a lot of the economy, will reduce personal liberties, like choosing the school your children go to, choosing your health care, choosing your pension fund, and will basically move the country from a bicameral with a lower house and a Senate to unicameral. They're creating this other chamber that they call the Chamber of Regents, but it won't have much power. So it really will become effectively a unicameral kind of populist a system. And the main problem with it is that the document does not defend the rights of individuals. It does not defend civil liberties. So what ends up happening in the document is it says, well, you know, these things will be decided by the legislature. So it doesn't defend the rights, and then it gives the legislature the right to make laws. And we know in Latin America that left-wing populism, which is, you know, 51% of the people vote to take the resources of the other 49% in a unicameral majority rules kind of system, you know, it's a recipe for disaster.
What's driving this, Mary? Because you give statistics that from 1990 to 2017, the poverty rate in the country went from something like 70% in 1990 to 8.6%, almost disappears in 2017. The middle class is endorsed. The resources are in demand. So why now do they want to level the country and deprive people of their authority?
Well, as is true in most cases, it's kind of a perfect storm. So there's a variety of elements that have come together. I think it's important to note that Michelle Bachelet, who's a socialist, who, by the way, is in favor of this crazy constitution, and now is at the UN doing something with human rights, she had a second term in which the economy was a disaster. So you had 4 years of Chile not growing, and that'll make people really unhappy. Now, who they blame is another question, but you had 4 years of basically stagnation. I mean, I think it was maybe 1.5% growth in some of those years, but it was pretty lame. And along with that, you have rising expectations in Chile because everyone's telling Chileans that they're rich, that they're successful, and lots of things like, for example, in education. I think a lot of young Chileans thought that all they had to do was get a 4-year degree and they would be in a very secure place. But the problem is Chile did such a good job of getting people to get 4-year degrees that the premium that you would receive because you had a 4-year degree went down. It wasn't the high reward that people anticipated. So there also is a component of expectations, rising expectations that were not met, lousy economic performance under Michelle Bachelet, lots of indoctrination in the universities about against capitalism and against free markets and so forth. So you have a lot of these things coming together. And I think that President Piñera, he had a good first term in terms of economic growth, but he is not a person who understands and is able to defend the morality of the market. So when you had these crazy university students going to the streets, Piñera could not defend the morality of the market. He could not defend the system that made him very rich. So you have all of these components coming together, probably some latent resentment toward Pinochet still in the country because he was in power for 17 years. And I think all of those things added to sort of the populist fervor that if only they could rewrite the Constitution and redistribute income, they could make everybody equal and everybody would be better off. And that's the road they're on. You know, equality, this equality of outcomes is driving a lot of this. The young people believe that because some people are rich, other people are poor, which of course is an economic fallacy, but that's where they're at.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady writing about the proposed constitutional shift in Chile, the resource-rich, blessed land of Chile. The referendum is September 4th. There are weeks in which the people of Chile can change their mind. If the polls are instructive, there is not a majority in favor of 499 articles to level the field. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.